Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, welcome to the Denver Bible Church Update. We have an excerpt from this week's Sunday sermon, so join us now for our Denver Bible Church sermon in progress.
Zakath, thank you for agreeing to debate this most important of topics for human beings. For billions of people have directed their lives by belief in a God of some kind. And if no God exists, then there is an incalculable opportunity cost of wasted human effort. Imagine billions of people working, living, thinking, talking, writing, as though there's a God, and if there is none, what a waste. Imagine what they could have been doing all that time. Well, for all the time spent chasing that lie, humanity could have been more effectively pursuing truth. So my first question for you, Zakath, is, does truth exist? If you say that it does not exist, that nothing can be true or false, then I will unilaterally declare a forfeit on your part. For you would have conceded that nothing you write is true, and would have demonstrated that atheism is the pinnacle achievement of ignorance. So that's my first question to him. Does truth exist? And if this atheist says no, which quite a few do, I don't know how this one will answer, but if this atheist says no, truth does not exist, then he might not realize it, but he's conceded defeat. And he's admitted that nothing he writes, none of his arguments are true. And so by default, he loses the debate.
Hey, Bob Enyart here. This is Pastor Bob Enyart of the Denver Bible Church. Now, that little excerpt, that was basically a dry run of something that we're going to start on June 16th. Where I will be debating an atheist, a very experienced, well-read, aggressive lifestyle atheist on the internet at theologyonline.com. So we want to invite you to check that out on the web. If you have access to the internet, go to theologyonline.com. And we'll at Denver Bible Church, and this debate will take place over a few weeks, and we will be doing dry runs, and people in the church will be giving their input on which way the argument should go. So it'll be a lot of fun. In fact, I'd like to invite you to visit us this Sunday morning for our lively Sunday school class. We're in Matthew, and we've had such a good time in the Gospel of Matthew. That's at 9:30 in the morning. Our worship service is at 11, or our Sunday night Bible study is in Colossians, the book of Colossians, at 6 o'clock. If you have an unbeliever that you have been working on, well, the Sunday night Bible study will be a good time. We're at a great point in the book of Colossians to show an unbeliever that there's overwhelming evidence that God exists and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. So we invite you to come on out to Denver Bible Church. We're at 6200 West Hampton, near Hampton and Wadsworth on the South Frontage Road. Call us for directions at 303-463-1707. That's Denver Bible Church, 463-1707. Or you can find out directions to our church on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. That's denverbiblechurch.org. So you're invited this Sunday morning or evening. And, hey, the Sunday morning Sunday school class is probably my favorite time of the week at Denver Bible Church, because it's fully interactive, it's lively. You could come with a question, an issue, a topic you'd like to debate. So come on out and join us.
Service with the wind.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Program note, this Friday, I will have the honor of filling in as a guest host on Unraveling the New World Order, the Unraveling program that airs in cities all over the country, normally hosted by Larry Bates and Chuck Bates. So if that's on in your city, check your local listing and time for your radio station, and feel free to call in on that show also this Friday. Hey, some emails here we got at KGov Live. That's our email ID, KGOV, KGov Live at AOL.com. This one, actually, it's a press release. The Jim Baker returns to Christian television and shows his PTL Club. Remember that program? Started taping. This is 16 years after the PTL program went off the air. And he went off the air for a number of reasons, including a bit of a sex scandal. And he made a confession and admitted to some pretty terrible things. But I'd like to, since his show is coming back on Christian TV, I'd like to tell you the one bit of information that I have about him that I got secondhand. And so I'll tell you how I got this information, and then you could weigh it for yourself, because in his book, he admitted to having had homosexual temptations. I didn't read his book, but as I've heard, that's about as far as he took that issue. But I've been on Christian TV. Right now we're just on Christian radio here with Bob and Yurt Live. But I'd been on Christian TV for, about 5 years or so. And my show aired on one network. We actually aired on three different networks simultaneously for a few years. And on one network, I became friends with one of the employees who had worked at Jim Baker's PTL Club program, basically. And then he started this extraordinary center that was families would go for vacations and amusement rides and restaurants. And so she ended up working there, and she was the hostess at the nice restaurant on those grounds that was completely run by Jim Baker. And she said to me that, she was always so happy with him and his ministry on TV. And so she went there hoping she could work for him, and she was able to, and she got that neat job as a hostess. And then she was somewhat surprised at what the normal routine in the restaurant, because she said they also had a barber shop. What do you call them these days? A haircutter shop? I don't know what you call. Used to call them beauticians. When I was young, my mother was a beautician. And now they're hairstylist. And so while you were there, you could go ahead and get your hair cut. Well, it was a couple of the guys who, they had hired a couple men that did the haircutting. And these men had very clear lisps. And people at the PTL, the facility there, they wondered, these guys, they really sound and act like they're homosexuals. And that, Christians who love the Lord and knew that homosexuality was a sin, they thought, this is a bit weird. Well, that wasn't the weirdest part. The weirdest part was that Jim Baker would go to the restaurant, the nicest restaurant they had in their facility. He would go there late at night. It was still open, but later. And he'd get a table in the corner. and he'd spend a couple hours there eating dinner with the guys from the hair salon. That was his favorite guest to have dinner with. And when it happened the first one or two or three times, she thought, well, he's trying to, she didn't know what to make of it. And then she realized that was his routine. Repeatedly for a period of time, he would have these late night dinners with these obvious homosexuals from the hair salon. This is Jim Baker, PTL Club host and founder. And so, of course, when his whole ministry crashed and burned, then with financial and sexual scandal, and he went to jail for 5 years, and she told me that story, and she said it was just devastating to her, but it was obvious he had, you know, that's all she knew, and so that's all she told me, and so you could take from there. It's just pretty gross. So now he's back on the air. I wonder what the beauticians are doing these days, those guys. Wonder if they're still involved. Think they've passed away by now? I don't know. So anyway, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right. Hey, here's an email from Greenwood, South Carolina, from Michael. Mike, thanks for your idea. We don't normally read emails like this. They're ideas for the program. And this says, "Dear Bob, I just would like to pass on to you an idea for increasing your listening audience. Have you ever considered having one broadcast a week dedicated to simply teaching from the Bible? And leave the remaining broadcasts of the week for call-ins and to deal with current events and news from a biblical perspective like you usually do. I just thought I'd make this suggestion. I look forward to ordering more of your materials. Have a nice day. Sincerely, Michael." You know, that last, so we read that before the show, and we thought that's a reasonably good idea. And then he said, "I look forward to ordering more of your materials." And actually, the way Bob and Yurt Live really has been supported since 1991 is that people who, they listen to the news, call-in talk show, you know, format. And once in a while, now and then, we talk about Bible issues. But then if they want to find out more about what we do here at Bob and Yurt Live, then they start ordering our Bible study manuscript, the audio tape albums, and that's how we are supported. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. This is a live commercial break, and I want to let you know the phone number to call in on the air is also the number to reach our order line, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We got just the most wonderful letter from Texas today from a retired military guy, and just the neatest comments about being able to understand the Bible, the overview of the Bible. And this gentleman, he's a rancher. He read the plot after being a Christian for 30 years or so and tells us that he's just so thrilled he finally is able to understand the Bible, to open up the Bible and get it. And it is so much fun when you can do that. And so that's the purpose behind this manuscript. We have the plot. It's called The Plot. It's an overview of the whole Bible. And the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. Have you ever thought about that? You might have debates or wonder about things like the end times, the tribulation, the rapture, or can you lose your salvation, or is there eternal security, or the perseverance of the saints, or do you need to keep the Sabbath or not keep the Sabbath, or should you speak in tongues or not speak in tongues, or should there be healings going on in your church, or just so many issues to study and to learn about as Christians. And you know what most Christians do? They dig right into those details. You become a Christian, you end up in a discussion, a debate, and you get curious about one of those issues. And so you might try to learn about it. And you might even spend enough time to where you think you've become an expert on that issue. But the overall story of the Bible and how all the parts of the Bible fit together, a lot of times Christians don't start there. And so that's the primary purpose of this ministry, is to get people to understand the Bible, the big picture. And so that's why we have the plot, 330-page, unpublished manuscript, best-selling manuscript, $49.95, plus shipping and handling, but money-back guarantee. We think you'll love it. Call us, 800-8-NYART. One 800 8 NYART 1-800-836-9278. Somebody in the studio audience is reading the plot right now. All right. So, hey, last week, so that's Jim Baker back on Christian TV. And I don't think he mentioned that the beauticians, the hairstylist in his book. At least I didn't hear it said that he did. So that would be, that'd be interesting to have him address that. Remember last week we talked about the Department of Justice, this story where John Ashcroft last year sent his second in command, the Assistant Attorney General, to speak at the Justice Department's Gay Pride event. And John Ashcroft, I don't know him personally, supposedly a conservative Christian Republican, and he's the Attorney General and heads up the Justice Department. And so homosexuals at the Justice Department during Gay Pride Month, pretty soon they're going to have Gay Pride Decade, but during Gay Pride Month, he sent his second in command to speak at this homosexual event. You see, the conservative Christian leaders of today, a lot of them don't realize that we are in a war with sexual perversion and with those who promote sexual immorality and who brag about it. And I really think that John Ashcroft does not realize that the next generation of Americans have much more at risk from homosexuals than they do from Islamic terrorists. Who's the greater threat? Where does the greater threat to America come from? From Islamic terrorists or from homosexuals? And, you know, the vast majority of conservative Christians, I've asked that question maybe 20 times in the last few months. And everyone I've asked to, although they tend to be conservative Christians, they say homosexuals without even thinking about it. The greater risk to young people in America is from homosexuals, without any doubt. But so a year ago, John Ashcroft sent the second in command, the Assistant Attorney General, to speak at the Gay Pride event, and there was a lot of backlash because of that. You know, how many conservative Christian ministries said, you know, we try to get you guys in office. Now, Bob and you're live, we didn't say that. But we supported you guys, and you're supposed to be Christian, and you're supporting this homosexual event? So there was a lot of backlash. So this year, the homosexual Justice Department employees are going to have their event at the Justice Department, and they were told that they couldn't do it. They were going to have it in the agency's Great Hall next Wednesday, and they were told you can't do it by Justice Department officials. And so then they ask why. Of course, the homosexuals will ask why. You see, they'll fiercely defend what they view to be right, and they want to know why not. And so the Justice Department, this was the funny part, they blamed the president, George Bush. They said, well, the president has not declared this an official, you know, June, an official homosexual gay pride month. And so, therefore, you can't do this. And when I heard that, that was reported, you know, by the Associated Press and widely, I just thought it was hysterical. Because Bush and the White House would be furious. Because there's no way in the world they would say anything against homosexuals. There's no way. You could go against Osama bin Laden, but a gay Republican? Forget that. Right? The conservative Christians in politics, they pretty much cower at the thought of homosexuals coming against them. So anyway, what's happened now is we don't have any behind-the-scenes information on White House involvement, but the Justice Department has reversed their decision and they changed their mind on the gay pride event. And so now the homosexuals are told, well, of course you could hold your meeting in the Great Hall. Of course you can. And it was just a misunderstanding. We never told you you couldn't do that. Yeah, right. Right. And the homosexuals are saying, that's not true. They told us we couldn't hold the event, not even if we paid for it. So there we have turnaround there. All these, it's a shame we got to talk about all these disgusting topics. Like in New Hampshire, the Episcopal Church is, they got a new bishop, New Hampshire Episcopal Bishop. He's an open homosexual, especially qualified to be a bishop of a Christian church because he divorced his wife for another man. So the Episcopal Church, you know, on this show quite often we talk about the mainline Protestant denominations and how many of them are post-Christian, with the United Methodists leading the pack. But let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Helen, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Helen.
I've got a complex issue here, Bob.
All right.
I am guilty and a fool, and I've built my whole life out of sand, and after years and years, it's all, I think God's giving us our slap here, which we deserve.
So it's all coming down.
It's all coming down. It's just that the problem is that the people that have it right are, in a sense, worse than we are.
I don't know what you mean. You mean
I mean that...
You're being very vague. I know you are, but you
right.
mean you mean the people who have criticized you guys? Or you?
No, I mean that we've had all this wisdom and we've been listening to you for years and years.
Oh.
And circumstances became such that we kept sinning as drug dealers.
Oh, no.
Because our family was in such a mess that when you don't get a high school diploma and you don't go to college and you're a drug dealer for 15 years, you can't just go out and find a job to live in the house that the drugs bought.
Mm.
And you've cheated on your wife and she's become mentally ill. And you're trying to homeschool your child.
Oh, brother.
And then your wife wants to have a baby because she thinks it's going to make you her husband again and love her. And, you know, and everything falls apart and you have the baby and she's autistic. And then there's a knock at the door and it's the police.
Mm.
And it's you're glad that they came,
mm-hmm.
which most drug dealers wouldn't be glad that they came.
Right.
But you've been married to somebody that was a drug dealer. You've been crying for years. Please don't be a drug dealer. Let's go to church. We know this is bad. Mm-hmm. And then finally all comes crashing down,
mm-hmm.
and you're on the trail of snot and tears there. And then you come to the point where you don't even know how to reconcile yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got defense attorneys wanting to lie.
Right.
You don't want to lie.
Right.
And you've got really nice policemen trying to help you out. But they're going to let me go, but the other people are going to get in trouble.
Mm.
And, I mean, I thank God for that. You know, it's just that nothing makes any sense.
No, the whole system, Helen, obviously your life right now immediately is more important than the system. But the whole system is broken.
Right.
And we tell criminals, well, tell on other criminals and then we'll let you go. Or you'll get a lesser punishment.
And right, and I also have the guilt of, do I somehow have blood on my hands? Does my husband have blood on his hands? Have these people know anybody that have killed somebody? Or did the money transactions, did any of the money that I touched go to pay somebody? You know, because we're not talking about, you know, the little crack house. We're talking about the cartel.
Mm.
So it's just...
Now, Helen, so are you saying that you're getting off lightly?
Yes, I'm saying that.
And your husband is getting punished more severely?
No.
Oh, so both of you, if you help...
And I'm also risking this right now because I'm afraid, because I was, you know, we're not supposed to be discussing this, but I just feel like you can't just hide everything.
Mm.
You can't just, you know, how can you go to, you know, my husband just started going to church. How can he go to church and be like, well, I really got these problems, but I've been instructed not to talk to anyone.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of the conundrum of you have to follow the law, but sometimes you can't. How do you follow the law and hide the truth?
Helen, is your case still going through the system?
This case is still... open. This case hasn't even been completed.
Hmm. Well, what can I help you with?
My husband just started to going to church, and he met the pastor. And can my husband tell you this? He speaks better than I do.
All right.
Okay, hold on.
Good evening, Bob.
Hi. I guess it's John.
For the moment.
All right. What's up?
Well, my wife has told you.
Mm.
So I've invited a pastor over to my house, but I have...
Well, John, hold on a moment. Get your thoughts together. We'll be right back. AN-YARD. This is a live commercial break, and that's the number that you can call in to the show or reach our order line. And, you know, we have these Bible study Bible studies that we've been doing for years, and we'll take about 12 weeks of Bible studies on a topic or a book, like the book of Romans or the book of Revelation, and we'll take those 12 weeks of Bible studies and put them onto 6 tapes and into a Bible study album. And we have so many neat albums for understanding the Bible. And, you know, if the story of the Bible is true, well, then it's really important to know what it says and to apply it to your life. If it's not true, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christians are the biggest fools. That's what the Bible says, in fact. That's what the Apostle Paul said. If Christ rose from the dead, then Christians are right, and everyone who's not a Christian is wrong. But if Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christians are fools. But I have been persuaded by the evidence that Christ has been raised from the dead, and that Christianity is true, and the Bible is the Word of God. And so because of that, we've put in a tremendous effort to knowing that book, the Bible, and to teaching through it, and then making that available. And Bob and Yart Live is a way for us to reach out to a wider audience and to let people know, hey, studying the Bible is awesome. It's an extraordinary book. And if we live by what God says in the Bible, then our lives will be successful. And if we violate what God says in the Bible, our lives will be broken. And regardless of what happens in the circumstances around us, regardless of that, it's what we do that matters. And so I invite you to call us. You could subscribe, get an album mailed to you once a month, or you can check out the sermons at Denver Bible Church. Give us a call, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com. Welcome back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-836-9278. Now, we're going to go back to John. You know, but I just want to say, Cheryl and I, sometimes in our own lives, you know, things have gotten so difficult. Like years ago when I spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside, and we were taken to court, and I was charged with child abuse and convicted, and we'd appeal, and I'd win, and they'd take me back to court, try me again, convicted, and appeal. And eventually they won, and they took our 4 kids away. We lost custody of our 4 kids, and, you know, that's pretty tough. That's pretty absolutely miserably difficult and tragic to deal with and to get through. But we would look at other stories of people who lived, whether they're Christians centuries ago or the Jews who lived through the Holocaust and suffered and died, and we would actively look at the suffering of other people and say, you know, our suffering is intense, but look what other people have gone through. And when we compare that and we see Christians who've gone through the most horrendous things and God was with them, whether they lived or died. So there is help and hope. But let's go back to Colorado Springs and John. So, John, go ahead. I know you want to talk a bit about what's happening, and then we could see if there's anything you want me to try to help you with.
Well, I guess we'll narrow it down. My problem is that the church I started going to is, of course, having altar calls. And I know I should go up there. But I'm in the midst of being investigated for drug trafficking. And we're scared to even talk on the phone because our phone might be tapped. And I've invited the pastor over because I'm frightened about making, you know, any kind of uh, public statement or, you know, by walking up to the altar and or perhaps even somebody recognizing me, because I'm certainly not somebody you would see in church considering what I've done.
Have you, John, have you been given a court-appointed lawyer?
We purchased, we had a friend that was a lawyer that knew a friend, and we paid a small amount for the lawyers. The police also stepped in and said that I really shouldn't waste my money on the lawyer, considering how well we cooperated, and well, that...
And your lawyer, is he encouraging you to tell the truth?
As a lawyer would, no, by
right.
no means.
And you know what? That's pretty much, that's lawyers in general. And we see that over and over as I interact with people for 12 years now on the air from all over the country. You know, people who've listened to the show get in trouble and they call here. And their lawyers will tell them, you know, you've got to lie, you've got to distort the truth. And it's just tragic. That's our legal system. Our legal system is absolutely broken. It's completely corrupt. And if one criminal gets a light sentence because he tells on another criminal, well, then all that is suspect. And so the system itself undermines credibility in its own outcome. But anyway, okay, so you guys, you've gotten yourself in this despicable situation, plus you have children. How many kids?
Two kids, and one we homeschool, and the other, actually, you've spoken to one of our children. We had her call in another time, and she spoke with you. And it broke our heart to hear you say that that she must have such fine parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she pulled the wool over my eyes. Well, actually, no. She's obviously a neat young gal, but I drew the wrong conclusion.
Sorry about that, sir.
Yeah. So, John, all right, so I'm still not sure. Obviously, you and your wife, your lives are broken. Your family is devastated. The misery you've brought to other people is
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's immeasurable. And you're broken now because you got caught, right? If you didn't get caught, I imagine you'd still be doing the same thing.
With all the wishes that we weren't, but perhaps, yes, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, the vast majority of Christians, I'd say that's true. The vast majority, whatever sin is their particular sin, if they don't get caught, they keep doing it. And then you get caught, and there's all this remorse. And, you know, the same thing happened with the people in the Bible, like King David got caught being a murderer and adulterer, and he was sorry. But the good thing, at least, if you look at the difference between David and Saul, is Saul wasn't sorry. Saul, his wickedness, if it's exposed, it just made him hate God all the more and more prideful and arrogant in his sin. So that is one difference between someone who loves God and is a Christian and someone who isn't. We could at least be humble before God and ask God, actually thank God that we got caught. Thank you, Lord, that we got caught.
We have, sir.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
And that we weren't mature enough or loving enough or strong enough on our own to repent. And so we got caught and our sin was exposed. And thank you at least, Lord, that I'm broken and a contrite heart and I'm sorry for the people I've hurt. And now what do I do?
Well, now I've invited the pastor to come over and speak with me and my wife. My wife and I, rather. And I'm torn as to involve him in this because he's a good man.
Well, that, John, I think you're worrying about something that's not worth worrying about. That's, I'd say right there, you're majoring in the minors. You have such huge problems, and whether he wants to be involved or not is very insignificant. You tell him, and if he wants to talk, he'll talk. If he doesn't, he won't. Don't worry about that. You have your life, your wife, your kids.
That's true.
So, you know, and it's real easy when we've made a huge mess to focus on everything else. So, all right. So, John,
I know, Bob.
It's just, it's so tragic.
No end to our sorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, John, the thing that Christians have that others do not is that Jesus Christ died on the cross because of sin. And if he rose from the dead, like I said earlier, if he rose from the dead, then Christianity is true. If he didn't, we're fools. That's what the Apostle Paul says. But the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if he did, that means Christianity is true, which means Jesus did not die for his own sins, but for your sins and your wife's sins and for my sins. And so God forgives us when we're humble enough to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to believe in Jesus Christ, put my faith in him. And so we become Christians and we're forgiven, which is so great, and we have salvation, but that doesn't undo all the harm we've done. And there's still going to be eternal consequences because of our sin.
Yes, sir.
The people we've hurt. And so, John, the thing you need to do now is become a man of God and to grow up. And to stop hurting other people, and especially your family.
Yes, sir. I'm a fool. I knew this all too well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. It's it was a bit risky for you and your wife to call in, but. And the tragedy is, it's really sad that you guys have known the truth all this time. But, you know, today is the day to change your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And King David, he really, you know, the sins that he committed destroyed his family and his country. But he did repent. He was sorry. And God loves him, and he loves you. We will be right back. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. This is a live commercial break, and in the last break, I was telling you about our Bible study albums. Now, we do every week for years, we've done Bible studies and with an actual class, and then we record them, and every 12 weeks or so, we will take 12 studies and put them on 6 tapes and put together an album. And I'll describe to you some of the albums. We have Genesis, Creation, 6 tapes on our origins. Where did we come from? Where did the universe come from? The galaxies, the solar system, life, animals, plants, butterflies. Where did it all come from? Well, of course, evolutionists and atheists, they say it all came by chance, by accident, with natural selection. So you look at a caterpillar, and it goes into a cocoon when its life is over, and then it comes out as a butterfly. How did that evolve? How in the world does that evolve? The caterpillar spins this cocoon and all its internal organs become mush. They all melt. And then they reassemble themselves into the organs of a butterfly with new DNA. You think that just happened by chance? If you do, you're a nut and you need this album. So call. All right, we've got a live commercial break going here. And the number to call is 1-800-8-NYART, inside joke here. 1-800-836-9278. So you get the Genesis Creation album. If you're a little hesitant about what is this Bob and Yart live show anyway? Well, I get to pastor Denver Bible Church. Most people have to work for a living. I get to be a pastor. It's fun. You study the Bible, teach the Bible. You let people know when they're knuckleheads. You say, hey, you're a knucklehead. Don't you know that God made us, that there is right and wrong, there's truth, and pretty much everything you do is wrong? I mean, this, you shouldn't get paid for doing this, but we do. Denver Bible Church, come to the church, get albums, you'll have fun. One 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You know, it's been said that you can't break the law. For example, God's law. God says, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit perjury. He tells us that drunkenness, which obviously includes doing drugs, getting high, is wrong. It's destructive. And so we think, well, he broke the Ten Commandments. But people have been supposedly breaking the Ten Commandments for 3,500 years, and they're still there. They haven't broken. So you don't really break the Ten Commandments. They break you. You're broken. You break. The law stays, and you break. And that's just the way it is. You know, liberals like to think there's no such thing as absolutes. And there is. In Britain, in England, they have this sex disease crisis. These sexually transmitted diseases that the government at the highest levels, and we've reported on Britain's situation on and off over the years, which is horrendous, like ours in America. But for example, right now, they're saying 1 out of 10 sexually active Brits have chlamydia. Now, chlamydia, that's just one of a couple dozen significant STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. That's just one. And, you know, I've known some women who've grown up and they're young, sexually active. They get older, they get married, and they want to have children, and they can't have children. They're infertile. And they desperately want children. Now, not every woman, not every guy needs to get married. God made us with different gifts, and some people have a gift of celibacy. They're just perfectly content being single, and that's great. That was the Apostle Paul's gig. That was Jesus. He was single. And that's fine to be single. But if you don't have that gift, and Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. That's pretty insightful. And so now a young woman is married and she wants a child and she can't have a child. And she tries for years and the stress and the cost and the devastation. And then she needs to learn to either to adopt, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, or, and some don't want to, and many do, or to learn that I cannot have a child. I've seen infertility destroy marriages, where that's been the core issue. You know, the main thing that destroys marriages is selfishness. And then selfishness normally exploits some issue, like money or time or whatever. And so infertility was the issue in some marriages that I've seen with my own eyes that were destroyed because of the wife going into severe depression over infertility. And what sexually transmitted disease did she pick up as a kid, with the liberals thinking, oh, it's fun, they're kids, you just got to expect it. And here in Britain, this public health emergency they have right now, this crisis, just with chlamydia. Just chlamydia. Forget about other diseases. Forget about herpes. Forget about syphilis. Forget about gonorrhea. Forget about HPV, human papilloma virus. Just chlamydia, which, by the way, can cause infertility. 1 out of 10 in Britain have chlamydia. 1 out of 10 sexually active, which is pretty much most of them. 1 out of 10. And so you know what? The government is saying we have to spend tens of millions of dollars. Well, they don't have dollars there, and they don't have euros either. But we've got to spend tens of millions of dollars to fight sexually transmitted diseases in our country. But the problem is they don't know to say you shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. They don't know that. So they're going to fight this. It's like fighting a fire by spraying gasoline on it. That's what it's like. Fighting a fire by spraying gasoline on it. So they want to go to nightclubs and have men screened for STDs at nightclubs. So that's a good idea. That's a good reason for a young husband to go out to a nightclub some night. You know, he's worried he might have a disease, and what better place to find out than your local nightclub? So he sneaks out at night. His wife's visiting her sister for the weekend, and he goes to the nightclub to get screened. Sounds good. Anyway, they don't know enough, just like our government doesn't know enough to say sex outside of marriage is wrong. Wouldn't it be neat if George W. Bush said, we need to teach people that it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage? You know, he wouldn't say that. He would not say that if it meant everything. If the world was going to end in 1 hour unless he said that, he wouldn't say it. He wouldn't say it. All right. So 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. But you know what he did say today? You know what he did say? The three terrorist groups in Israel, joined together to pull off a terrorist attack a few days ago and killed a handful of Israeli soldiers. And these terrorist groups have announced publicly that not only are they not going to try to have peace with Israel, they're going to continue their terrorist attacks. So Israel attacked one of the terrorist leaders of Hamas and injured him in defending their country against terrorists. And George W. Bush condemned Israel in the harshest terms. What's with that? So if we go after Al-Qaeda, why shouldn't Israel condemn us? Why does Bush think that America should have the right to kill terrorist leaders, but the Jews don't? What's with that? And one of the things Bush, he really had something going with the Bush Doctrine when he said, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. That's a good doctrine. If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. That means if you protect a terrorist. If you protect a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And then it was, except for Arafat. Bush didn't follow his own doctrine. Can't you follow your own doctrine? So now, forget Arafat. Now it's Hamas. Now Bush is protecting Hamas. Yeah, Israel wants to have peace with the Palestinians. That's fine. That's good. That's great. But in the meantime, if the terrorists continue to attack your country, you don't stop defending yourself. And for George W. Bush to criticize a country for defending themselves against a terrorist, one of the worst terrorist organizations in the world? Come on. It's just too much. So frustrating. So the Bush administration reverses the Justice Department's decision not to allow homosexuals to celebrate their gay pride at the Justice Department. They reversed that because that decision, that was an aberration, right? That's what that was. That was an aberration because the Bush administration appoints homosexuals to high public office. It's so frustrating. You know, millions of conservative Christians support it and vote for George W. Bush. But they sort of don't realize that by doing that, he will appoint homosexuals. He will appoint judges who believe it's right to kill unborn children. So what do? We're in a mess in this country. One of the reasons, you know why? Let me tell you one of the reasons George Bush does those things. Because Christian leaders have lured him into a false sense of security that it's okay to appoint judges who kill babies because you can do it and the Christian church will approve of you. And so when the Christian leaders get to heaven on Judgment Day and God wants to know, why did you so aggressively support political people, parties, issues, events where they actively killed kids? Well, we were doing that because we thought the government would be, that our country would be better off. Oh, you thought you had to support, now let me get this straight. You thought you had to support someone who promises he's not going to try to overturn Roe v. Wade, somebody who has put plenty of pro-abortion judges into office, into high office, and, right? George W. Bush was asked. He was asked in the presidential debates, he was asked, are you going to try to overturn Roe v. Wade? He said no. He said, we don't have a litmus test on that. And he doesn't. He appoints pro-abortion judges. He brought a big one from the Texas Supreme Court to be his White House chief legal counsel, Alberto Gonzalez. And I tell you, if Rehnquist resigns from the U.S. Supreme Court in July, all the talk is that Bush wants to nominate his longtime good friend and chief legal counselor, Alberto Gonzalez, who's a pro-abort. Imagine if he does. That would be just devastating. That would be devastating. And I pray he doesn't do that. But you know what? There are almost no pro-life judges to choose from. There are almost none. Because the pro-life judges on the U.S. Supreme Court appointed by Republicans, the couple that are there, out of the seven they appointed, they think that if a state votes to legalize abortion, then that's okay. They just don't like Roe v. Wade. They think the states have to legalize abortion one by one, and then it's okay. You know, our government is messed up. The church is messed up. Culture's messed up. Everything's messed up. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.